You know, I said I was only keeping 5 minutes, but it looks like it take me that long to get through your credentials. So if you would just say to my radio audience some of what you do, you know, some of your credentials, and then I'll just ask you a couple of questions.
Yeah, well, my name's John Carpton. I'm currently the department chair and full professor at the University of Southern California Keck School of Medicine, the Department of Translational Genomics, which I actually founded. The basis of my research is utilizing technologies, data that we gather from cancer patients and use that information to try to identify new biomarkers, new therapies, and particularly trying to understand why we see such substantial differences in the rates, both the incidence rates and the death rates of cancer in underrepresented populations. So this whole discipline of cancer disparities, cancer health disparities. Why is prostate cancer more common? Why are black men more likely to die from prostate cancer? Why does triple negative breast cancer, which is the worst kind of breast cancer, occur more commonly in young black women? Why do black patients typically get diagnosed with colon cancer at higher rates? Multiple myeloma at higher rates. So we're trying to tease out the biology and the biological differences in various populations, both racial and ancestral populations, whether it's African Americans or Africans or Latinos and Hispanics, and understand how biology might play a role in those differences. And that's been the crux of my career.
And how did you get into that?
Oh man, I think there was some divine guidance and some purpose in that, you know. I think where it really started was during my fellowship. I was working on a prostate cancer study with colleagues at Johns Hopkins, and we were analyzing families that had multiple cases of prostate cancer, which would suggest that the prostate cancer was being inherited. And we had about 110 families that we were analyzing, and just one random day, we were analyzing the data, just going about my daily business as always. I had a random thought: how many of these families are African American? This is Johns Hopkins. It's right in the middle of an African American community in Baltimore. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, that could actually be an interesting piece of the project that I could take. Because we didn't have data on sort of the self-identified race for the families. And so I reached out to my colleagues at Johns Hopkins and said, hey, how many of the families are African American? And out of the 110 or so, were like two. I said, how can this be? And so I got into a really good discussion with my colleagues, and they, you know, gave me some of their reasons why they had not been able to recruit African American families into their study. And so I went to my director, Jeff Trent, and my other mentor, Francis Collins, with the idea to say, hey, I would love to spearhead a project to see if we can recruit African American families into a similar study so we could run the studies in parallel, because the genetic differences could be different in these two groups, these two populations. And that's how it started. And they got behind it, they funded it, they supported it. We got funding from John Ruffin's office. At the time, it was the Office for Minority Health and Health Disparities. We got money from the National Cancer Institute. We integrated the urology section from the National Medical Association. Ike Powell, James Bennett, Brian Stone, Jerry Hogue, Sally Weinrich, Srinivasan, Vijaya Kumar. I mean, it was a fantastic study. We hired Rick Kittles. We collaborated with Howard University, so it was like a partnership. And we were able to recruit over 100 families that were African American.
Oh, wow. I myself participated in a clinical trial.
Yeah. Yeah.
It saved my neck, really.
I bet.
You know,
I bet.
So the other question I had, could you just explain a little bit about immunotherapy to my audience?
Sure.
In a way that maybe they might be able to understand what that's about.
I'll try my best. So essentially, there are commercials for a drug called Keytruda you see on TV, and it's a new class of cancer therapy that essentially allows the immune system to kill the cancer instead of bathing the patient in poison and chemotherapy. It's allowing you to utilize your own immune system to tackle the cancer. So essentially, cancer cells have a way to disguise or cloak themselves from the immune system, right? And so they express a protein or they express a marker, and when that marker is seen by the immune cell, it gives a signal to the immune cell that it's a normal cell, even though it's a cancer cell.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like hiding from the immune system.
Right.
And so what scientists have been able to do is to find, develop a therapy that blocks that protein. And now it allows the immune cells to see the cancer cells and to mount an immune response against the tumor. And so that's how these immunotherapies or immune checkpoint inhibitors work, the vast majority of them. Now, they're working on other methods or other ways to, you know, because, again, just like many other therapies, sometimes the cancer cells figure out a way to escape.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we're trying to figure out, one, these immunotherapies don't work for everybody, so we want to figure out, is there a biomarker to tell us who are the best candidates for that therapy? And then, two, we're trying to figure out, once the therapy stops working, why? What has the cancer cell done? What changes have occurred in the cancer cell? And can we now exploit these new changes with other ways and other means of treatment?
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I don't want to hold you any longer.
You're welcome.
Thank
Good
you
to
so
meet
much.
You. Yeah, shout out to my folks. Shout out to the community.
Okay.
We're here. We care. We're here. It's a responsibility to us. It's our purpose to serve our community, to utilize the gifts that God has given us to serve our community. We're a part of you. You're our mothers, our fathers, our uncles, our grandparents, even our children. So get behind us and support the work that we're doing. And through that work, we'll then in turn support you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you. I can't say enough.